and they get weaker and weaker and deader, and preachers sit around and lick their chops like a Cheshire cat, looking at God's sheep, and they skin them, and they eat their fat, and they clothe them with the wool, and they feed not the flock. They don't heal the disease nor strengthen those that are sick. They don't look up the lost. They don't get out and try to bring that back again which was driven away. They want to rule with forcing cruelty. But I'll tell you, my friend, God is looking for shepherds that will give their life for the sheep. For the Jesus said, the true shepherd in John 10 will give his life for the sheep. The sheep is not to give his life for the shepherd. Now, I want some of you dear Christians to remember that. But I want to tell you, this thing's gotten reversed, and that's why the church is dead. The sheep have given their lives for the shepherd, and they're dead. Now, that's a pathetic situation. Now, back to the Word of God here again. In Philippians, I want you to turn to this. I've got a lot of scriptures I won't get to in this message. In Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth. What do you hold forth in that light? The word of life. Praise God. If you got a light shining, that light's not to shine on you and glorify you and point everybody out to you. It's to point to Jesus, who is the word of God. And I'll tell you, we've got to hold the word of life out to a lost generation. The Bible tells us, Paul warns us plainly in another warning of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Let me tell you, there's some memory. There's some remembering for Christians to do. We can't go on and just hear the gospel or hear the word of God and receive it with joy and anon, go out and forget all about it. We've got to keep in memory what we hear and live that fully as God gives us the power and the ability to perform through the help of the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. In Isaiah 5, 13 and 14, the Spirit of God warns and said, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their pomp and their multitude. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. We're living in a dangerous age because the truth is under attack. We must remember the word of God completely. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, the Bible said, it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But again, the Spirit warns in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. He said, I give you charge in the sight of Jesus Christ, that you preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's now. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away the ears from the truth, and they'll be turned into fables. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, the Bible warns again through the Spirit, this know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. Why? Here's the reason. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, number one. Number two, they'll be covetous. Men will be boasters. Men will be proud. Men will be blasphemers. Number six, we'll have disobedience to parents, unthankful people, unholy people, people without natural affection, truce breakers. 11, false accusers, incontinent. That means you can't satisfy them. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good, traitors. My Lord, the list just keeps on going on and on and on and on. 16, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. Here's the trouble with the church today. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Dead churches have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof from such turn away, all son of man. Speak to these bones and say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me tell you, when we begin to preach the word of God, there won't be a form of godliness. The power will be there, because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. He said, when you run into a congregation that loves pleasure more than they love God, and they have a form of godliness but denying the power, that's the preaching of the whole truth, turn away from it. In verse 7, he says, they'll ever be learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're in a generation today of church people that are living in a dead and defeated life. But here's some of the promises the Lord said he'd do for a defeated church here in this end time, as well as the vision of dry bones in Ezekiel 37, when the prophet begins to prophesy, hear the word of the Lord, and speaks to the wind to breathe upon those that have turned to holiness. We see the church stand on her feet, an exceeding great army. Here's another promise in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 18 beginning. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise God, when things are dry, God's Spirit will intervene. He said, going on now, listen. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give to my people drink. Praise God. Then over in the 44th chapter, the next chapter, verses 3 and 4. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. There are some of the promises of God to this end time generation. But here's a warning. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. We cannot put our trust in the flesh. God is leading us out of that old trust in the flesh. And whose heart departeth from the Lord? For he shall be like the heath in the desert. See, you'll die, you'll dry up. You'll not see when good cometh, but you'll inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But listen to the next two verses. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then in the words of the writer of the New Testament, the great apostle Paul, in Ephesians 5:14, he said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Praise God, there's a work of the Holy Ghost to revive the deadness, the dead bones of the church here in this end time, and to pour out waters upon the dry and thirsty ground that's ready to soak up the outpouring of God's Spirit. God must prepare holy vessels, holy temples, to house the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and there's not going to be a mighty move of Pentecostal power until a holiness of revival precedes this end time outpouring. And it must be preceded by the prophecy of the prophet who says, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he proceeds to preach the whole truth to the church in this end time. That's going to prepare the church for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost since Acts, the second chapter, on the early church in the early reign of the Holy Ghost power. We're going to be the temples to receive the outpouring of God's Spirit when our bodies become the true holy temples that the Lord wants to possess in sanctification and honor. Then we won't be dry. Then we won't be dead. Then we won't be powerless. Then we won't be barren. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to the outpouring of God's Spirit, even though it's going to be accompanied by a severe persecution upon us. God's grace is going to be greater than the persecution, and in the midst of violence, opposition to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be the greatest harvest, the greatest reconciliation the world has ever seen, and it's going to be through a ministry and the word of reconciliation that God will perform from the mouths of his holy prophets. We're standing on the verge of the greatest work of the Holy Ghost the world has ever seen. And we're going to see this valley of dry bones revived. We're going to hear the preaching of God's holy word in the midst of the greatest famine for hearing the word of God the world has ever seen also.